Hi, podcast listeners. This is Leslie Law, the host for Sandbox Radio. On behalf of my fellow producer, Richard Zeiman, and the entire cast and crew, we welcome you to Sandbox Radio Gold Rush, recorded at Town Hall Seattle on August 29th, 2016. Special thanks to all our donors and to For Culture, the 1448 Projects, and West of Lennon for making this episode possible. Join the team by making a tax-deductible contribution at sandboxradio.org. Just click on Support. And please take a second to post a rating or review of the show in iTunes. It helps other listeners find us. Now let's get on to the show. Gold Rush features music from Teresa Holmes and Ed Key and special guest Jennifer Jasper.
Sandbox Radio, we'll stay all day. In the backyard we'll play. Jump into our sandbox.
We build castles and kings. Words become things.
Radio presents new plays by Lisa Halpern, Elizabeth Heffron, and Wayne Rawley. The latest adventures of Cousin Katie by Scott Augustson. Musings from Peggy Platt. And oh, so much more. With musical guests Teresa Holmes and Ed Key, and very special guest Jennifer Jasper. Yay! Featuring all your favorite Sandbox Radio players and the Sandbox Radio Orchestra, led by Jose Juicy Gonzalez. So, sit back and relax. We take you into the world of Sandbox Radio Live.
Sandbox Radio. My cousin Katie from Ketchikan. My cousin Katie from Ketchikan. She's the girl that you call when you need a friendly smile.
Toast, just like every other morning.
Knock, knock, knock. Morning, Lena.
Hey, Marco. I'm just trying to decide whether to wear a beige blazer or a taupe top.
Wow, the fun never stops around here.
I know. I count on you to liven things up. How's your love life?
Don't ask and I won't tell. It's been a slow parade of accountants and barbershop quartet enthusiasts.
What a couple of sad snow bunnies.
My cousin Katie from Ketchikan.
Katie?
Were you hiding behind that couch?
Sure was.
Why?
That's not important. What is important is that I came to Seattle to sink my pearly whites into all that is the Esmeralda City. You only go around this popsicle stand of life once. I have a big day planned for us. It starts with a trip to Jungle Mike's Mary Jo store.
Pot?
Yep, and the kettle too. We're gonna vaporize some cannibals. We're gonna be stony birds.
She's the girl that you call.
Hi there.
Hi, I'm Katie.
My cousin Katie from Ketchikan.
And this is my cousin Lena and my pal Marco.
I'm Janice. I'm your bud tender.
It smells delish in here.
I did not know that there were so many different kinds of marijuana.
As many as there are stars in the summer sky. The night sky, not the day sky, which wouldn't have any stars.
Well, the stars would still be there. You just couldn't see them.
Yeah, except maybe the sun.
There's a myth about the sun that I've always liked.
The one with the turtles stacked on top of one another?
No.
The one about the sun being a big lemon tree whose flowers are sweet, but the fruit is impossible to eat.
Not that one.
Lena, Marco, you know what is happening right now? You guys are already getting a contract tie.
Whoa.
All right, Django, tell us what's on special today.
Well, let's see what we've got. Spinning Sally, Spotted Dick, Uniclops, Dead Man Dancing, Gary Jr., Tipperando Mermaid, Last Train to Clarksville, Royal Marxus, Courtney Fleetfoot of Pennyworth. Now, what are your plans? Because if you're watching a movie and eating Fritos, you want one kind of pot, but a very different one if you're gonna throw an orgy.
Well, I guess I can let the bag out of the cat. Lena, Marco, I have taken your cellular telephones and downstreamed a game on them.
What kind of game?
Oh, are we talking the game?
Yup. Donkey Kong Go.
In that case, you'll be wanting Kermit the Kush.
Kermit?
You're gonna find it's pretty easy being green.
Great! Off to Volunteer Park. I've heard there are Mario Brothers lurking everywhere.
Sandbox Radio does not endorse the smoking of marijuana in public places. But we don't not endorse it either. Hell, we don't care.
Okay, here it goes.
Smooth.
Smooth is right.
I'm turning on the game. Whatever we do, we should stick together. Lena? Marco? Oh, that didn't take long for us to lose each other.
Wow, this game is amazing. It's like living in a candy-colored cartoon world. Oh, wait, I don't have it on.
Hi.
Well, look at that. You there, you da big pink rat.
I'm a capybara.
You aren't real. You are virtual. Me, I am living in the material world because I am a material girl.
I'm a capybara.
And if there is one thing that we know that science has proven, it's that girls just want to have fun. It's all about fun, because when the phone rings in the middle of the night, your father asks you, what are you going to do with your life? You need to be ready. And if the person on the other end says, hello, is it me you're looking for? You have to say, how the hell do I know you called me? What number are you trying to reach? And do not say 8675309, because this is Pennsylvania 65000. 65000, the numbers just keep going up and up.
I'm a capybara.
But what goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, spinning round, ride a painted pony. Wait, why would anybody ride a painted pony?
You could ride a capybara.
No. It's the wheel of fortune that goes spinning around. Or the wheels on the bus, those go round and round.
Uh-huh.
Bus, hop on the bus, Gus. Hey, capybara?
Yes, Lena?
I really think I need some help.
Hop on my back. I'm a capybara.
Sandbox Radio does endorse the bareback riding of capybaras.
Katie? Lena? It's me, Marco. Guys, come on, where are you? If you can hear me, just say polo.
Hello.
Hey, look at you. You're a big thing. Who are you?
My name is Bambalacha.
What are you?
My daddy was an old junkyard dog, and Mama, she was a brick house.
Huh. I would not have expected that that particular union would have resulted in something so...
sexy?
That's the word. Oh, God, look at my legs.
I could look at him, or I could take a picture, which would last longer.
My legs are literally and figuratively 10 feet tall. They're freakish. How have I never noticed them? How is it that I'm still 5'9", but my legs are 10 feet tall? What if there's a bunch of stuff on my body that I don't know about? What if I have a nipple on my back?
Then you'd have 3 nipples.
What if I have a row of nipples running down my spine?
Then you should see a doctor. Or call La Leche League.
I don't think I should be in public.
Why don't you and me go back to my yurt? I have a jar of Nutella and a sleeve of saltines. We can try to figure out my Rubik's Cube, and then we'll take a bath together.
Okay, that works.
Sandbox Radio is not liable for injuries resulting in smoking marijuana and taking a bath.
Sure hope Lena and Marco are okay.
Roar!
Oh, hello, Bear.
You're not afraid of me?
I know you're not real.
Are you sure?
I've smoked some Mother Jones. I'm playing a video game, so I'm pretty sure. Plus, I'm from Alaska. I know bears aren't blue and they don't talk.
A very well-reasoned argument about my non-existence. Are you enjoying living in Seattle, Katie?
It's a funny town. The little things, like kids' names.
Yeah. Appalachia! Appalachia! Come get your nut-free PBJ!
Remember, diazepam, just because you're gifted doesn't mean you don't get to learn, too.
Wiggle Bottom!
Yeah?
How was your first day at Mime Aversion School?
It was loud.
When everybody is special, nobody is special.
And everybody is in such a panic about checking things off their bouquet lists. They don't seem to be enjoying anything.
Angie, did you see that Seattle Weekly just published a list of the 50 things you must do in Seattle right now?
Claire, the stranger just published a list. 200 things you must do in Seattle or just kill yourself, loser.
We have to do all these things.
All of them!
You know what I think?
Let me guess. That everybody should chill. You know, be happier keeping it casual.
You are from Alaska.
My cousin Katie from Ketchikan.
Yep, and chances are I always will be.
You gonna stay around these parts?
Well, like Doris Duke used to say, queso, the furniture's not ours to see. Maybe it's grown on me. But I do hear good things about Saskatoon.
You want to help me find your friends?
I'm enjoying just sitting here being a stony bird. I'll probably just watch the sunset and then stop for a clam sandwich at Ivy's.
Well, I've got an appointment in the woods. Later, Katie.
After a while, Bear. All pretty in the twilight. If you can ignore the cranes overhead and the needles underfoot, you're so damn gorgeous. Oh, I can't stay mad at you.
Next time on Cousin Katie.
Saskatoon?
What do you think?
What does Saskatoon have that we don't?
Well, the world's tallest funicular, the best Hungarian bookstore in North America, the longest sushi bar in the world, a bubble wrap factory, a town mascot who is a three-legged Great Dane named Mike, as well as a certain je ne sais quoi.
I love sushi.
I'm a capybara.
Oh, Katie.
My cousin Katie from Ketchikan. My cousin Katie.
The following message is brought to you by Kitty Harbor.
Today we find ourselves 47 degrees latitude and 122 degrees longitude in Puget Sound. Off in the distance, we see the lush northwest canopy draping her mossy tendrils over the picturesque harbor. Not just a harbor, but a mother. She provides protection from the cold, hunger, and predators, a nurturing, loving surrogate for all her residents, the orphans of the sea. As the Calypso approaches, we hear her playful inhabitants. It is kitties, 100 or more, singing grateful praises to their wet nurse. Get it? I crack myself up sometimes. These playful otters of the feline world fill this kitty harbor and a Frenchman's heart with glee. Kitten and cat, tuxedo and tabby, manx and Maine coon, all frolicking together in perfect harmony. They are all here and await the loving arms of a new mother, a new home, a safe harbor, leeward from the fierce winds, and a warm bowl of milk for their fat kitty bellies. I call on all of you to hear the siren call of the kitty. You, my friends, can make a difference in the life of a cat. Adopt, adopt, adopt. You there, in Del Ridge, or Georgetown, in Durian, or Medina. Yes, Medina. Adopt a kitty or two, or just send money. Money is bon. Please make your home a safe harbor. If not, I will speed away in my tiny submarine, sobbing, eating wet, stinky cheese.
My Calypso, the places you've been to, the things that you've shown us, the stories you tell. My Calypso, I sing to your spirit, the men who have served you so long and so well.
Kitty Harbor, a non-profit, volunteer-only rescue, rehabilitation, and adoption facility for homeless and abandoned cats and kittens. Find Kitty Harbor in West Seattle at 3422 Harbor Avenue Southwest. Stop by and visit the kitties.
Everyone likes to play with kitties.
Open Saturday and Sundays from 12 to 4 during adoption season, June through December. Or make a donation of cash or supplies from their wish list. Find out how at kittyharborseattle.org.
My Calypso, I sing to your spirit, the men who have served you so long and so well.
That's kittyharborseattle.org.
Lucy in the Sky by Elizabeth Heffron.
Boom, 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 bus, 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 bus,
boom, 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 bus.
My name is Ed Farthingwell, too. I'm a crane worker up in the blue. With gidgets and gadgets and all sorts of magnets, I'm building in South Lakeview.
Hey, Ed, you ready for us up there?
Always ready, Charlie. That's my motto.
We got the jib secured. Hoist her up.
You got it.
Easy. Easy. Swing the boom. That's right. Now lower the load. Yeah, perfect, Ed. You're a champ.
Thanks, Charlie. You know, I'm always up here for you.
Roger that.
I spend all day up in midair, in my custom cab built out with flair. I sometimes get lonely and sing to me only, but progress demands savoir-faire.
Hey, Ed, there's a supply snafu down here. Take a break, will ya? But watch your weather gauge. It looks like we're gonna be getting some wind.
You can say that again. I'm encased in a glass-paneled crane house with a microwave, phone, and TV. Making six figures up in this penthouse, 12 hours a day just with me. Sometimes with this boom we're like chattel, as we build up our town straight and tall. For billionaires here in Seattle, but heck, when we bust there'll be no work at all. Look at all that we bore, filling Seattle's core, scaling the new dot-coms, ambulant Amazon, getting a leather neck, creating the biotechs, raise the new nanostrings, right next to rings and things, right next to rings and things. Condos and fancy gyms, research labs, strength and trim, restaurants with toasted kale, unending Vulcan sales, 68 stories high, here's to our gold rush skies, and if you want it, we add to the sonnet, Incona Jacuzzi for free! Oh, my name is Ed Farthingwell, too. I'm a crane worker up in the blue. With gidgets and gadgets and all sorts of magnets, I'm building stuff down in the slough.
Hey, singing crane operator, open up!
Who said that?
We don't know!
Me! It's cold out here, numbnut! Open the cab door! About time, buddy. You made me climb 380 vertical feet straight up.
What the heck is going on?
This is a takeover.
A what? Who are you?
If you give me your attention, I will tell you who I am. I'm a lover of Seattle and defender of the clam. I protest this reckless building and its social effect. It is this grave agenda I'm determined to correct. From parking non-existent to the raping of our streets, you can't get here from there without a jaywalking rap sheet. I adore this crazy city just the way it was. That's why I've climbed your tower and I'm messing with your buzz. It's do or die.
Do or die.
I sound upset.
She sounds upset.
I claim this crane in the name of the people of Seattle. And we won't give it back till all the construction stops!
Wait! Those are my cab keys! You turn off the motor, we can't keep building stuff!
Exactement!
But! My name is Ed Farthingwell, too. I was born to build stuff in the blue. You take my cab keys, there's nothing here for me. I'm out in the street in the slough.
Good! Then you'll see how hard it is to walk down Blanchard.
But
if you give me your attention, I will tell you what to do. You can join us on the front line. It will be an awesome coup. A big crane operator who has chosen to defect. This might even make the mayor and the council genuflect.
One can dream.
Look, lady, I don't want a defect. I like building stuff.
Ed, you okay up there? Stan said he saw some kind of unauthorized ingress. Ed?
Does ingress mean trespass?
I believe it's similar.
Well, Charlie, he must have been seeing things. Everything's just Jim Dandy up here.
Okay. Well, the wind's picking up, so watch out. Looks like we're on standby.
Standing by.
You just lied to him. Why did you do that?
Why?
I don't know. Why. My name is Ed Farthingwell, too. I spend all my days up in the blue. With no one to talk to about life impromptu, my thoughts are now strangely askew. I'm not quite sure who I am. If I'm not raising booms with my hands, could I have no purpose, be aimless and worthless? In short, am I really a man?
Ooh, honey. I didn't mean to cause an existential crisis.
Well, you're the first woman I've ever had in my cab.
I am.
What is that arousing smell?
Patchouli?
It's delicious.
Look, maybe I better...
Don't leave now!
Don't leave now!
Oh, stay.
I have a little goat cheese that's organic. Green grapes and a few different slaws. We're high in the sky, that's romantic. We'll talk about Marx and your cause.
Okay.
Sit here on the co-pilot's tuffet. Relax and enjoy the fine views. The ground will know nothing of it. Our secrets suspended, too hot to subdue.
Ah.
Loving humanity on its profanity, rising dramatically, lifting emphatically, groping your maidenly, seizing it crazingly, thrusting strategically, glorious bonhomie.
Oh, watch the circuit breaker.
Learning accordingly, feet on the floor, we see absolute ecstasy. Where might her G-spot be? Excellent alchemy. Talk with infamy, more than we done. If we're having a fun, and we don't give a hoot about
Ed, the wind must be something. Cab's really rocking up there.
You can say that again.
You can say that again.
I can say that again.
Oh no! The crane's torquing wildly.
Just like you, Tiger.
Wind.
Hold on. Down below?
Nobody. Lucky break.
You can say that again.
You can say that again!
Well, Ed, looks like you'll be clocking out early.
Yeah, I guess so, Charlie. Over and out.
Awkward.
So?
It appears we've reached the climax of our little indiscreet.
And the wind outside's done raging, and it's pouring down in sheets.
The crane crashed over Westlake, and the techies all have fled.
My comfy life's been shattered, and the future now I dread.
How can we reach consensus when we've dropped our boundaries so?
And seen each other's nethers and the ports that simply glow.
I'm an ardent revolutionary, destined to be so.
Is there any way to solve this?
We are stumped, we just don't know.
We just don't know.
My name is Ed Farthingwell, too.
Well, I guess my work is done here.
I suppose it is. Wait, won't you even tell me your name?
Would it really matter? No, Ed, you're a crane operator. Happy-go-lucky, making six figures. That's what you are. And me, I'm just a working-class girl destined to rock the system. See you around on the street sometime!
The theme was Gold Rush. I struggled. Then I found my vein. my connection. The reason why I tell the stories I do. You see, I just returned from a long weekend with my two younger sisters to begin the relocation of my 83-year-old father. He is a retired lawyer who at one point was the director of Health and Human Services Department in New Mexico. He was known in Santa Fe for his lethal argumentative skill, his biting sense of humor, and being the father of five girls. He has suffered from severe depression for most of his life. He now resides in a KOA campground in Albuquerque and is a recluse. At the beginning of the weekend, as we made our way from the KOA with him in the back seat struggling with his seatbelt, I felt pity for my father.
Well, Jennifer, you may be good at the dramatics, but you are a horrible manager.
In one moment, I had seen his watery gray eyes tearing up in his desperation to understand the seatbelt mechanism turn steely as he cast his rod and buried his hook into my scarred psyche. My rebuttal? Well, I've been paid quite well as a manager, and I'll show you what I can get done in 3 days.
We'll see.
I was back in familiar territory again. It was his automatic mechanism in dealing with his embarrassment or failure or disappointment by striking out at one of us. This was a familiar feeling, a memory, an explanation, a reason. My mother spent most of her time explaining our father to us.
He had a tough childhood. He had a hard day. He's under a lot of pressure. He can't get his seatbelt fastened.
My sister and I just looked at each other knowing that we were still going to be sitting at that four-way intersection of pity, anger, need, and hope. It was going to be a long weekend. We made the trek to a storage unit that held his life and hadn't been opened in 10 years. It was over 100 degrees. The dust in New Mexico is fine and has a reddish-brown hue, and it finds its way into every crack and crevice. It is the same dust that was in the hills behind our house, where we would look for arrowheads and mica and fool's gold to keep on shelves and forts we built above the arroyo. I would make believe I was Laura Ingalls Wilder, and my father was Pa. A man with twinkling eyes who played the fiddle and always had a story. A man who loved his daughters. My father just sat on a folding chair while we sifted through the treasures of his life. Fishing rods, shotguns, backpacks, camping gear, cross-country skis, climbing gear, tackle boxes, dog beds. Activities not shared with his daughters, his passions. We found a photo of him shaking LBJ's hand. We gathered around, excited. How had we never seen this? We carried it gently to him, asking him loudly, "When did this happen?" He shrugged and offered no explanation, no story. We put it in the one box that held the slides of our childhood. I found two bookends that had John Jasper, 1945, carved on the bottom. He pointed and said,
"I made those in woodshop in junior high."
It was a rare nugget of information. I put them aside, knowing I would take them home. You see, we know very little about my father, so these rare facts always come as a surprise.
Oh, yes, he was on the fast track to be governor.
Really? But more than the dusty remnants of his past, my own quest for hidden treasure was my need to understand where I fit in his world. I looked for myself in boxes and boxes of his life and came up empty. I was nowhere. Except for the slides, my sisters and I were not there. No memories except for exclusion. Over the entire weekend, I sat with my pan of rocks, sand and dust sifting through, hoping to find something shiny, a compliment that carried value, a memory that included me. Then, we were driving and saw a camper pulled off the side of the road with a flat tire, the driver and family sitting in the hot sun. My sisters and I turned towards our father, who saw them and stated,
"I don't envy them."
And we all started laughing. And there we were. We did exist. When I was 10 years old, between my father's state job and him beginning private practice, we piled into our golden white Suburban, hitched up our Jayco pop-up camper, and began our own cross-country journey from Santa Fe to Disneyland. The long way. We traveled east through 26 states, over 12,000 miles, and parts of Canada. Oh, and we brought a friend.
I'm homesick.
Because five girls just isn't enough. It would be the only family vacation we would ever take, other than weekend camping trips during the summers. My father calculated that at the end of the trip, we had spent a solid 2 weeks, 24/7, putting up and breaking down camp. He had clocked it under 12 minutes. My job was unhitching the Jayco, placing the bricks behind the wheels, and pulling the elastic bungees under the wings. Around halfway through that trip, we had a flat tire on the Jayco in one of the Dakotas. Does it really matter which one?
Damn it! Jesus H. Christ! Stay in the car!
My father's curses echoed and bounced off the flat rocks in the noonday sun, our panting beagle, Ralph, dogging his heels, and all of us thinking,
I don't envy him.
My pan is overflowing with memories of our summer camping trips, none as long as the trip. I remember my sisters and I wading into ice-cold streams with minnows kissing our toes. Songs with my father's strong tenor being sung around the campfire under a blanket of New Mexico stars. The smell of eggs cooking in a cast iron on the Coleman stove. Melted tips of sneakers from getting too close to the fire. And fighting over that last Cragmont root beer. Watching his straight back and assertive stride as he and the dogs walked away from our campsite with his fishing gear every morning without us, to return with fresh rainbow trout he'd fry up for dinner. Fishing rods, camping gear, shotguns. We finished going through his storage unit, his life reduced to a quarter of the space. We fished for compliments after our hard day of work for him, and he reminded us that he had loaded that whole unit by himself. We went to dinner and drank much-needed beer, rinsing the dirt from our lips, ate green chili cheeseburgers, and asked questions. He told us about the photo with LBJ. It was taken when he worked for Health and Human Services. Oh. He was ahead of his time.
On the fast track.
It's risky to go looking for something that is rumored to exist. I have come up empty-handed before. But I'm betting there's more. Oh, so much more to be unearthed. I will return to New Mexico this September to physically move him to my sister's in California. But from this last trip, I gathered every golden memory to take home with me, held between two wooden bookends.
Jennifer Jasper, everybody.
way up north in Alaska, there's a land that's always cold. But you stake a little claim and you dig a little hole, and you're back with a pocket full of gold. Oh, money is the meat in the coconut. Oh, money is the milk in the jug. When you got a lot of money, you feel very funny. You're happy as a bug in a rug.
The Shooting of Dan McGrew by Robert W. Service.
A bunch of the boys were whooping it up in the Malamute Saloon. The kid that handles the music box was hitting a jag-time tune. Back of the bar in a solo game
sat Dangerous Dan McGrew.
And watching his luck was his light of love, the lady that's known as Lou. That's right, darling, he's bluffing.
Went out of the night, which was 50 below, and into the din and the glare. There stumbled a miner, fresh from the creeks, dog dirty and loaded for bear. He looked like a man with a foot in the grave, and scarcely the strength of a louse. Yet he tilted a poke of dust on the bar, and he called for
drinks for the house.
There was none could place the stranger's face, though we searched ourselves for a clue, but we drank his health. And the last to drink was Dangerous Dan McGrew.
Boys, take me back from the Yukon, out here in the great nowheres, where the men are lean and the women are mean, and the grizzly lives upstairs.
There's men that somehow just grip your eyes and hold them hard like a spell. And such was he, and he looked to me like a man who'd lived in hell. With a face most hair and a dreary stare of a dog whose day is done, as he watered the green stuff in his glass and the drops fell one by one. Then I got to figuring who he was and wondering what he'd do, and I turned my head,
and there, watching him, was the lady that's known as Lou.
His eyes went rubbering round the room, and he seemed in a kind of daze, till at last that old piano fell in the way of his wandering gaze.
Here you go, kid!
Thanks, Joe.
The ragtime kid was having a drink. There was no one else on the stool. So the stranger stumbles across the room and flops down there like a fool. In a buckskin shirt that was glazed with dirt, he sat, and I saw him sway. Then he clutched the keys in his taloned hands. My God, but that man could play!
Were you ever out in the great alone, when the moon was awful clear, and the icy mountains hemmed you in with a silence you most could hear? With only the howl of a timber wolf, and you camped there in the cold, and a half-dead thing in a stark dead world, clean mad for the muck-called gold. While high overhead, green, yellow, and red, the northern lights swept in bars. Then you've a hunch what the music meant. Hunger and night and the stars.
And hunger not of the belly kind that's banished with bacon and beans, but the gnawing hunger of lonely men for a home and all that it means. For a fireside far from the cares that are, four walls and a roof above, but oh, so cramful of cozy joy and crowned with a woman's love. A woman dearer than all the world and true as heaven is true. God, how ghastly she looks through her rouge. Ooh, the lady that's known as Lou.
Then, on the sudden, the music changed. So soft, you scarce could hear, but you felt that your life had been looted clean of all that it once held dear. That someone had stolen the woman you loved, and that her love was a devil's lie, and that your guts were gone, and the best of you was to crawl away and die. 'Twas the crowning cry of a heart's despair, and it thrilled you through and through.
I guess I'll make it a spread in misery, said Dangerous Dan McGrew.
The music almost died away. Then it burst like a pent-up flood, and it seemed to say, repay, repay, and my eyes were blind with blood.
The thought came back of an ancient wrong, and it stung like a frozen lash, and the lust awoke to kill, to kill. Then the music stopped with a crash, and the stranger turned, and his eyes, they burned in a most peculiar way. In a buckskin shirt that was glazed with dirt, he sat, and I saw him sway.
Then his lips went in a kind of grin, and he spoke, and his voice was calm. And,
boys,
says he,
you don't know me, and none of you care a damn. But I want to state, and my words are straight, I'll bet my poke they're true, that one of you is a hound of hell, and that one is Dan McGrew.
Then I ducked my head, and the lights went out, and two guns blazed in the dark. And a woman screamed, and the lights went up. Two men lay stiff and stark. Pitched on his head and pumped full of lead was Dangerous Dan McGrew.
While the man from the creeks lay clutched to the breast of the lady that's known as Lou.
These are the simple facts of the case, and I guess I ought to know. They say that stranger was crazed with hooch, and I'm not denying it so. I'm not so wise as the lawyer guys, but strictly between us two,
the woman that kissed him and pinched his poke was the lady that's known as Lou.
Well, you stake your claim on the Klondike. You wade into the river with your pan. You wash all the dirt and pocket all the gold. And you come home a wealthy man. Oh, money is the meat in the coconut. Oh, money is the milk in the jug. When you got a lot of money, you feel very funny. You're happy as a bug in a rug. When you got a lot of money, you feel very funny.
One more time, please. Enjoy. Teresa Holmes
and Ed Key.
I've traveled all over this country,
prospecting and digging for gold. I've tunneled, hydraulicked, and cradled, and I have been frequently sold. Yes, I have been frequently sold. Oh, I have been frequently sold. I've tunneled, hydraulicked, and cradled, and I have been frequently sold.
Where one had made riches by mining, perceiving that hundreds grew poor, I made up my mind to try farming, the only pursuit that is sure.
The only pursuit that is sure. The only pursuit that is sure. I made up my mind to try farming, the only pursuit that is sure.
So rolling my grub in my blankets, I left all my tools on the ground and started one morning to shank it for the country they call Puget Sound.
For the country they call Puget Sound. For the country they call Puget Sound. And started one morning to shank it for the country they call Puget Sound. Arriving flat broke in midwinter, I found it enveloped in fog
and covered all over with timber as thick as the hair on a dog. When I looked at the prospect so gloomy, the tears trickled over my face, for I felt that my travels had brought me
to the end of the jumping off place. To the end of the jumping off place. To the end of the jumping off place. I felt that my travels had brought me to the end of the jumping off place.
I took up a claim in the forest and sat myself down to hard toil. For 2 years I chopped and I labored,
but I never got down to the soil. I tried to get out of this country, but poverty forced me to stay. Until I became an old settler, and then nothing could drag me away. Come on, sing it now.
Then nothing could drag me away.
Then nothing could drag me away. Until I became an old settler, then nothing could drag me away. And now that I'm used to the climate, I think that if man ever found a place to live easy and happy, that Eden is on Puget Sound. No longer a slave of ambition, I laugh at the world and its shams. As I think of my pleasant condition, surrounded by acres of land.
Come on, now sing with us.
Come on. Surrounded by acres of plans. Surrounded by acres of plans. As I think of my pleasant condition, surrounded by acres of plans.
You're listening to Sandbox Radio Gold Rush from August 29th, 2016. Mark your calendars for our next live show on Halloween night at Town Hall. Get venue and ticket information at sandboxradio.org. Now back to the show with a short play by Lisa Halpern featuring Sarah Harlett and Peter Dylan O'Connor.
Thank you.
You're not gonna believe this.
Lay it on me.
I was planting that lily you wanted in the back garden bed.
Oh, honey, thank you. So, what are you planting now?
I'm not planting. I'm digging.
I see that. Oh my God, are you finally going to build me that little deck?
Nope. Even better. Look at this, baby.
All That Glitters by Lisa Halpern.
It's so shiny. What is it?
It's gold.
Really?
Yep, I Googled it.
Where'd you get it?
Right here in our yard.
Really?
Yep. Oh, there's gotta be out there with my... Yep, there's gotta be more where that came from, so I'm digging up the backyard to find it.
Oh, you're funny. You're hilarious. Wait, you're kidding, right?
Serious as the election, babe.
No, absolutely not.
Babe, listen to me.
No, I've put 15 years of my heart and soul into this garden. We're not digging it all up on a treasure hunt.
We need this!
What have you done with my husband? What is going on with you?
Nothing. I mean, it's just... I always thought by this time I'd reach this stage, I would have won some big medal or award. That I'd be living in a mansion with a BMW or a boat or a house in some other country that we go to in the winter.
But you're a teacher.
I know! But I thought that someday something would happen that would, I don't know, change my life.
We have a good life, don't we? I mean, we love each other. Yeah. We have this beautiful house and garden. That's a lot of goodness.
I know. But wouldn't it be great not to have to work? To be able to take vacations whenever and wherever we want?
I guess, yeah, but... You know that saying, all that glitters is not gold.
Yeah?
Well, just because someone is rich doesn't mean they're happy.
I know, but the gold could be so good
for whoever us. Decided gold was valuable anyway?
The government way back when said so.
But they could have just as well picked up any old rock and said, hey, these gray rocks are worth a lot, and everyone would be fighting over them instead.
Not really. It's rare. It's a precious metal.
Whatever.
I'm telling you, babe, we've got gold on our property!
Just because you found one small piece does not
mean
that...
You gotta trust me on this.
I trust you with my deepest truths. I trust you to tell me when you're hurting and tell me what your dreams are. These are not small things.
Okay. You wanna know what my dream is?
I do.
I wanna be rich! And I can achieve that dream by digging here now.
I get that you're having maybe a little midlife crisis, and I wanna help, but this is too extreme.
It's not. I did my homework. Statistics say where there's one, there's more. Oh, I got a good feeling about this, I swear. I mean, you'll thank me for this later.
No, I assure you I won't.
I'm sorry, I gotta do this.
Over my dead body. Give me that shovel.
Nope, sorry. No can do.
Give it to me. Fine. Two can play the shovel game. I have my own shovel.
What are you doing?
Keeping the dirt where it belongs.
No.
Yes.
Sorry.
Stop.
Can't.
Stop. Hey, whoa. Wow, really?
Sorry, I'll help you up. I just gotta do this!
No, you really don't.
Give me back that shovel!
Come inside and let's talk about this like adults!
Fine, I'll just use my pickaxe.
You idiot! You hit a water main!
Stop freaking, call Beacon!
Turn off the main!
I'm busy!
Well, I'll do it, you asshat! Richie, where did you... No! No, not my Japanese maple! Stop!
Oh, it's gotta be here somewhere. Just because it wasn't in the main bed doesn't mean it's not here.
Oh, God! My roses!
Get off of me!
Jesus, Richie! You've lost your mind!
No, I haven't.
So help me, if you turn that chainsaw back on...
Fine!
What a nightmare. Sorry, my little babies. I'll get you all back in the ground just as soon as I... What the hell are you?
It's gotta be under the house!
No! Absolutely not!
Don't worry, we'll be able to afford a way better house than this!
It'll be custom made for us!
I don't care! This is our house! I love this house! Stop! Turn off the engine! Where did you get a bulldozer?
I rented it.
No, you are not going to do this.
No, don't worry. It's going to be worth it.
If you do this, I swear to you, if you turn that thing back on, I'm leaving you.
But don't be silly.
I'm not silly. You're insane.
This is going to be amazing. You'll see.
Hello? Yes, it's an emergency. My husband has lost his mind. He's demolishing our house. 5117 South Finley Street. Hurry! Help! Help me, somebody!
Oh my God, what's going on?
You okay, Viv?
Richie's gone nuts! Oh my God. Help me stop him!
Seattle PD. Cease and desist, sir.
Thank you, officer.
Get off the bulldozer now, sir.
Sorry, I was just
looking... Do you want to press charges, ma'am?
I don't know.
Come on, babe. You know I was just looking for gold.
Yes! I'd like to press charges. What choice do I have? It's the only way I can be sure he won't take the rest of the house down.
Yes, ma'am.
Vivian, tell them to stop.
I told you to stop, and you didn't listen.
Come with us, sir.
Vivian, are you all right?
I'm okay, I think.
Cool bulldozer. Can I play on it?
No, honey, that's Vivian's bulldozer.
Can I play with it, Vivian? Can I?
Not today, Joey. Sorry.
Vivian, take the gold.
I don't want it.
Just keep it safe for me. Mommy, they found it.
Found what, sweetheart?
My gold nugget. They found my gold nugget.
This is yours?
Oh, it is. He bought it at the Precious Stone Store in Bellevue with his birthday money. He and Bobby were tossing it back and forth to each other yesterday, and it flew right over the fence.
No rainbow. No frickin' pot of gold. Here you go, Joey.
Thanks. Isn't it pretty?
Sure. Sure it is. I'm more into silver myself.
All right, sir, let's take a ride downtown.
Leave him with me, officer. I think the gold rush is over.
Oh, thank goodness.
Vivian, I'm sorry. I'm such an idiot.
Yeah, but you're my idiot.
The following message is brought to you by Fair Start.
I heard about this restaurant in Madrid.
Yeah?
They take a ham and carve it to look like the head of a famous person.
A bust of ham?
A bust of ham.
Like who?
Like it might be Madonna or Mother Teresa or Tiger Woods, but if you called ahead, I bet they could do anybody.
I read about this place in Japan where robots make your sushi.
Robots?
Robots. Mother-loving androids working with raw fish. And every once in a while, they just stop and have a laser battle.
Oh, dude. And that reminds me, there's a place in Italy, you know, when somebody makes a pizza and they throw it in the air?
I love that, man.
This place in Italy has two seals, or maybe they're sea lions, but they bounce the pizza dough back and forth. On their noses!
Oh. There's this seafood place in San Antonio that I saw on 60 Minutes. They teach the oysters to tap out a message in Morse code.
Like castanets!
Just like castanets! And this dude brought his girlfriend there, and they brought out the oysters, and she's like, oh, what's this? I didn't order this. And they tapped out, will you marry me?
Oh, so many killer restaurants out there. The one in Wisconsin carved out of butter.
Oh, the one in Sydney that only hires identical twins for waiters.
The underwater bistro in Kuala Lumpur.
And we're in downtown Seattle.
What's the last thing we ate?
When we got back from that party last night, we found those dinosaur-shaped pieces of chicken in your freezer. We didn't even heat them up.
We did not, sir. Whoa, this situation is bringing me down.
I'm a little blue myself.
Hey, fellas.
My cousin Katie from the chicken.
What are you boys doing here?
Hey, Katie.
We're all bereft of hope.
We are wandering in a culinary wasteland.
What do you mean?
Well, we want to find a cool place to eat. Last time we went to a super fancy pantsy place.
And they served us food, I kid you not, in a thimble. An actual thimble.
And the bill made us cry.
It was more than our rent.
Guys, why not just go to Fair Start?
What's Fair Start?
Oh, you knuckleheads. For the last 20 years, Fair Start has been taking homeless and disadvantaged folks and teaching them kitchen skills and then helping them find jobs.
Really?
Yeah. They've helped over 6,000 people change their lives through their adult culinary program.
But we're hungry right now.
You're in luck, because it's Thursday night, which is Fair Start's Guest Chef Night. Every week, a different fantastic chef comes and works with the students to create a three-course Pricks Fixie meal for $29.95.
Dude, a great meal for under 30 bucks?
And the money goes to helping people get their lives back on track?
Come on, let's go see if they have a table for three.
Katie, you're making us feel real cosmopolitan, even if there's no robots.
The Fair Start restaurant is at 7th and Virginia. It's open for lunch, weekdays 11 to 2. Guest chef night is Thursday, 5:30 to 8.
They got a website?
Of course. To learn more about all the great stuff Fair Start does, go to www.fairstart.org. That's F-A-R-E, start, dot...
O-R-G!
And now, another installment of Platitudes from the mind of Peggy Platt.
The search for gold is tricky as an artist. And as sure as Seattle's got drizzle, I am a gold miner. I worry every day about my daily bread and the next big strike. My strike, to be paid for my art, comedy. The performing and writing of it. A little history. At 21, I started working in stand-up rooms, mostly bars, and continued over 20 years. But, like an old athlete, I got too old and tired to deal with the road, the loneliness, the scary clubs, and drunks. And drunks. And drunks. It made me sick, fat, and angry. And my act didn't work when I delivered it screaming. Like Sam Kennison or one of the Louis, Black or CK. Well, thank goodness I have my sketch comedy. I love it. And the partner that I write and play with. It's great, but it's not full time. So, what's next to make more money? I'm a decent actor. An occasional acting job or commercial would be swell. It's just that all the other old broads in my demographic are living longer, and we're all going out for the same roles of somebody's mother or that totally primo incontinence ad. I should be grateful, I guess. I'm lucky. For 20 of my 36 years in the biz, I've made a total living performing and writing, but I did it backwards. The first part of my career was great. My performer friends would say, "Hey, you don't have a straight job." And I'd say, "Nope, I don't need one." But now things are lean. And like the lazy grasshopper, I did everything wrong. I didn't listen to my parents or guidance counselor, and I did not continue my schooling. No practical office skills like web design or IT. No accounting or marketing. I can't even type. In fact, over the years, I've learned only one valuable job skill. Operating a PBX cord board. You know, an answering service. Like Ernestine, the telephone operator.
Does anyone under 50 know what a cordboard is? Gee, Peggy, don't you have any domestic skills? Well, I'm not really that domestic. I'm more like a sitcom character, like Lucy, who's taken a job as a cook or caregiver or housekeeper. Let's watch Wacky Peggy as she breaks the washer, floods the basement, locks herself out of the $4 million townhome in Broadmoor while she's searching in her nightgown for their champion Pekingese. Wah! Mr. Wiggle! Anyway, I am a gold miner, looking for my fortune, hoping to find that nugget that will stretch my Social Security out until I'm dead. I am grateful for the art that I still produce. It fills me up. I try to find gold in every performance, because the real gold is your laughs and your applause. So, if you've had a good time tonight, or even if you didn't, and you have Trump money, give me some. Please, stop me before I house it again. Ah!
Peggy Platt!
That's awesome,
This is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with nothing better to do. To sit around the house getting high and watch the tube. Here's what happened when they decided to cut loose. They headed down to old El Paso. That's where they ran into a great big hassle. Billy Joe shot a man while robbing his castle. Bobby Sue took the money and run. Go on, take the money. Go on, take the money and run. Billy Mac is a detective down in Texas. You know he knows just exactly what the facts is. He ain't gonna let those two escape his justice. He makes his living off of people's taxes. Bobby Sue, whoa, she slipped away. Billy Joe caught up to her the very next day. They got that money, they got away. They're headed down south, they're still running today. Singing, go on, take the money. Go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the dirty money. Go on, take the money and run. Some people call me the space cowboy. Some people call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak on the pompatis of love. People talk about me, baby. Says I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong, wrong. But don't you worry, sweet mama, 'cause I'm right here at home. I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I play my loving on the run. Thank you. strangest thing that I ever did see. I really love you, peaches, wanna shake your tree. Love it, dove it, love it, dove it, love it, dove it all the time. Ooh wee, baby, ooh, I'm gonna show you good time. I'm a bigger, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, I'm a sender. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I get my loving on the run. I get my loving on the run. I play my music in the sun. Take the money and run.
Seattle, Washington. The year is 2050. 15 years ago, in the summer of 35, a small local online retailer invents time travel for the sole purpose of being able to deliver packages to their customers before the customers even order them. The technology works, but the return process is thrown into chaos. When customers, instead of returning items they don't want, simply don't order them in the first place. This creates tears in the fabric of space-time, destroying several downtown city blocks and creating our fair city's most famous landmark, the Water Needle. That's right, the Water Needle. Time travel is swiftly outlawed by the Sissy Pants Anti-Innovation City Council. And you all know the rest. When time travel is outlawed, only outlaws will travel through time. That's where I come in. I'm what they call a doc. Someone that makes a temporal sidestep and screws something up. I make it all better. With the help of my young apprentice, Miss Molly Mercer, we make sure the history of Seattle stays in line and on time. The past can be a rowdy place, and besides, we all hate it if things turned out differently, wouldn't we?
It's time once again for Doc and Mercer's Mostly True History of Seattle. This week's episode, A Rush to Disgruntlement by Wayne Raleigh.
I don't think I've ever seen so much mud.
Careful, Molly, about these streets. Grown men have been known to drown in the potholes.
When are we, Doc?
1897, Pioneer Square, Seattle, in the freshly minted state of Washington.
And almost a decade after the Great Seattle Fire, it looks like they haven't quite got the new city built yet.
Well, today is supposed to help all that. It's July 17th, 1897.
That's the day the steamship Portland docked in Elliott Bay, its cargo hold full of gold. Basically firing the starter pistol for the boom known as the Klondike Gold Rush.
That's right, kid.
So, why are we here, Doc?
The answer to that question is right here in this newspaper headline. Molly, go ahead, read it.
Mrs. Prudence of Lower Queen Anne bakes third cherry pie this week.
Pretty quaint for a Seattle headline, wouldn't you say?
I guess
Between the Great Fire and the Klondike Gold Rush, there wasn't a lot of other big news in Seattle in 1897, huh?
Look at the date on the paper, Molly.
July 17th, 2050. Mm-hmm. 2050? But Doc, this newspaper is from the Seattle of the future. Our future.
That's right.
That's not possible. All hard copies of the PII were made illegal by Kindle Profits Protection Act of 2043. How would a story about cherry pie be all they have to print on the front page of 2050?
I'm not sure, Molly, but I can guess. Shh, shh, shh. Listen.
Why, hello there, stranger. You look like you're new around here.
Why, indeed I am. I am a businessman just in from St. Louis, Missouri. I would like to open a cafe here in Seattle, one that specializes in gourmet coffee and pastries.
Oh, no, thank you. We already have one coffee shop in Seattle. I can't think of a single reason we would need another one.
But, madam...
No, no, thank you. What city needs more than one coffee shop? It's preposterous.
Whoa, that doesn't sound like the Jet City to me.
Nope. According to my quantum particle tracker, we got ourselves a bitcher landed somewhere here in turn of century Seattle.
What's a bitcher?
He's the guy who can't take a walk to the corner grocery without complaining about how Seattle has totally gone downhill. Because some pizza joint he met a girl in one time is finally closing down. They're all over this city. And when one of them gets his crybaby hands on the time stream...
What is going on here? Look at that building! That building used to be a mud pit! What was wrong with the mud pit? Now it's a bank? What do we need a bank for? We're pioneers. Everything costs like 2 cents around here. What are we gonna do in a bank? Save this mud pit! Save this mud pit! Save this mud pit!
Save this mud pit!
Huh! What do you know about that?
Extra, extra, read all about it. Steamship Portland docks in Elliott Bay. Gold discovered in the Yukon Territories. Gold! Gold! Read all about it. Read all about it. Shucks.
Hey, little girl.
Who, me, mister?
No one interested in news about gold?
Nobody.
What's your name?
I'm Polly Pennywise, newspaper seller and scrappy orphan waif. Someday I want to be a real newspaper reporter, but, aw, sassafras, that's never gonna happen on accounts of girls' brains aren't as big as boys' brains.
What? Who told you that?
God?
Now you listen here, young lady. Where I'm from, we haven't had a male president since 2016. Golly!
Oh, give her a break. Mercer, she doesn't even have the vote yet.
Why don't you have the vote yet? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Save this mud pit! Save this mud pit!
Hey, Polly, who is that old man?
Him? He's our new mayor.
Hmm. Let me check something. According to history, Seattle's mayor of July of 1897 was William D. Wood, but he quit to head north for gold.
Nah, that's Mayor Trey.
Mayor Trey?
Yeah, we told him about the gold, but he told us not to rush.
Not to rush?
Listen, Polly, you want to break a big story?
Do I ever?
Then I have some questions for you to ask your new mayor. Write these down.
And furthermore, as your mayor, I promise that the independent bookstores will always be our city's first choice, unless they don't have the book we want. And then, and only then, will we order them online.
Mr. Mayor, Polly Pennywise from the Post Intelligencer, sir. What is your position on the gold recently found in the Yukon and how its discovery might be a financial boon to our recently depressed city?
I'm against it.
What?
Forget about it.
Why?
Okay, the only thing that gold is going to do for Seattle is to bolster our economy, spur massive growth, and bring a bunch of douchebags to Capitol Hill.
Well, then, would you agree that despite all the attention grunge received, rock and roll music really hit its zenith with Metallica's and Justice for All album, and never actually got any better after that?
Oh, are you crazy? Rock music didn't even begin to find its true form until Mother Love Bone's Apple LP hit the shelves in 90.
There's our bitcher. Quantum bopped back from the year 2050 to mess with Seattle's history.
Let's get him.
Hold it right there, old timer.
Hey, what are you doing?
You are under arrest for attempting to alter the history of 1890s Seattle under the temporal restriction code of 2037.
Oh, the 1990s are the only 90s that matter. Back when Seattle was cool and indie and real. And I was in my 20s.
Here comes that bitching I was telling you about.
I saw Mudhoney play at the off-ramp back when they still had their first drummer. Well, not the drummer that everybody knows, but the drummer that played with them before that drummer. I saw that drummer.
All right. Okay, Grandpa, that's enough. Time doesn't stop just because you missed Dollar Boilermaker Night at the local mosh pit. Bacchum Bap to 2050, Mercer.
It was the off-ramp, the birthplace of Nirvana.
Yeah, well, now you can do all the yoga you want in prison.
Bop him, Molly. Namaste, punk.
Thanks. Now Seattle can get on its way to being a really first-class 19th century city.
You make sure the world knows all about that gold, Polly, and it will.
You got it, Doc. Say, before you go, have you seen our new tunnel?
Tunnel?
Sure. We're building a tunnel. It's going to go from one side of the city all the way to the other. It's going to be something else.
Well, how are you digging a tunnel?
Well, Bertha's digging it.
Bertha?
Sure. Hey, Bertha.
Hey.
How's the tunnel coming?
Oh, I stopped digging the tunnel.
What? Why?
Oh, I don't know. I hit a rock or something. There's a lot of rocks and stuff in the ground over here. It's pretty dangerous, all the rocks and such. Seems like it may be a better idea not to dig anymore.
What about the tunnel?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm just gonna sit here until March.
Shucks! Seattle's never gonna be a first-class 19th century city.
Don't worry, Polly. You'll get there.
And we better be getting back to 2050. I don't want to miss $350 Boilermaker Night at the Comet. Will you join me, Doc?
You still need a suit and tie to get into that place?
Of course.
I'll think I'll pass.
So, I'll see you next time.
The next time evildoers attempt to twist Seattle's glorious march toward the future to suit their own nefarious means, we'll be there.
Good thing Seattle has us looking out for her, isn't it?
Only time will tell, Molly. Only time will tell.
Coming up in the next episode.
Whoa. Here we are, Molly. South Lake Union, 35,000 years BC.
Look out, Doc. I think those cavemen see us.
So basically, every time you pick up a rock, you enter it here.
Ooh.
And if you bang two rocks together, you put that here. Over time, the app learns your rock banging preferences and does it for you in a virtual space.
Doc, someone's taught these cavemen how to code.
App development 35,000 years ahead of schedule? This could be bad for business, Mercer.
I want to invest £8 into your rock banging app. You are richest Homo erectus on planet.
How about a game? I'll call it Donkey Kong Go. See, that is a tiny little virtual saber-toothed cat. No, wait, it's a real gigantic saber-toothed cat. Run!
Be sure to tune in next time for Doc and Mercer's Mostly True History of Seattle. It's really been swell. It's really been great just to be with you on a sandbox date. Oh, say it ain't true. Oh, say it ain't so. But the show is gone and it's time to go. Well, that's our show for tonight. In tonight's episode, the Sandbox Radio players were
Keith Dahlgren,
Sarah Harlett,
Mick Kuhlman,
Rebecca Olson,
Eric Ray Anderson,
Sean Walsh,
Laura Kenny,
David Natale,
Imogen Love,
Annette Tatongi,
Peggy Black,
Peter Dylan O'Connor.
And how about the Sandbox Radio Orchestra? Dan Tierney on drums, Dave Pascal on the bass, Robertson Whitmer on the accordion and clarinet, and on the keys our maestro and composer Jose Juicy Gonzalez. Halpern, Elizabeth Heffron, Peggy Platt, Wayne Raleigh, and Robert Service.
We want to thank Town Hall for having us. Special thanks to Miranda Leon Jones, Katie Sewell, and Ware Harmon. Our stage managers were Elizabeth Burton and Susie Butler. And the show was mixed by Luke Carawone and recorded by Christopher Stewart. Thank you, Rebecca and Annette. Because now's the time in the show when we always love you guys to sing along. I think you picked up the tune. Ready? Here we go. Radio Gold Rush was performed live at Town Hall Seattle on August 29, 2016. It was engineered by Luke Kerwald, recorded by Christopher Stewart, and this podcast was mixed by Dave Pascal. Original music was composed by our music director, Jose Juicy Gonzalez, and music for Lucy in the Sky by Elizabeth Heffron was, of course, by the great Sir Arthur Sullivan. Sandbox Radio is made possible in part by a grant from 4Culture and by the financial contributions of listeners like you. Find our podcast archive, photos, live show information, and learn how you can help give us life support at sandboxradio.org. See you on Halloween night at Town Hall for Sandbox Radio, The Shadow Knows. Thanks for listening.